Hey friend, it's Katie here. Our podcast team is taking a summer break. While we're away, we're re-airing some of your favorite Proof to Product episodes, including this one. I hope you enjoy it. What does it take to sell your products wholesale to 100 stores? What about scaling to 500 stores? Today's guest is PaperCamp alum Brittany O'Brien of Brittany Page Designs. Brittany is a New York-based illustrator and the owner of the stationery gift company Brittany Page. Originally a graphic designer in the corporate fashion world, she started her business as a side hustle while working full-time. She then has illustrated for clients both large and small, such as Always, Givingly, and Zoe Report. In addition to working on custom illustrations, she also creates witty and empowered goods for the unapologetic girl, including greeting cards, stickers, candles, and more. Her products are inspired by current events, city living, and pop culture, and can be found in over 500 retailers worldwide, including Macy's and Paper Source. On today's episode, we talk about how Brittany scaled up her wholesale accounts during the pandemic, jumping from 100 accounts in summer of 2020 to over 500 stores now. She shares details about the marketing outreach she utilized, including email and TikTok. Today's episode is brought to you by Proof to Product's PaperCamp program, where we have taught thousands of brands how to scale their wholesale revenue. If you are interested in learning how to strengthen your wholesale sales and marketing strategies, head to prooftoproduct.com/PaperCamp and join the waitlist for the next round of PaperCamp. I'm Katie Hunt, wholesale expert, business strategist, and mom of four. I'm also the host of the Proof to Product podcast. I'm on a mission to empower product-based business owners to confidently grow their revenue in their own way and at their own pace. Here at Proof to Product, you'll learn new strategies, find inspiration, and action steps to help you start, streamline, and scale your product-based business. So grab your favorite notebook to take notes and let's get started. Hey, Brittany, welcome to Proof to Product.
Hi, Katie. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I am so excited to chat with you today. You've had such amazing growth since you came to PaperCamp, and I've loved seeing the hard work and just innovation you've had with your marketing. We're going to dive into all of that today, but let's kick this off with a trip down memory lane. When did you start your business and what led you to want to create stationery and gift products?
Yeah. So I started my business, Brittany Page, which is my name, back in, it was around March 2018. And I was working full-time as a corporate graphic designer in fashion in New York City. So I worked for companies like Victoria's Secret, Oshkosh, Gap. I did children's tees. I did some like email marketing. So pretty well-versed with that. And I liked it. I always thought I wanted to be in fashion, but I think what happens is when you get out of college and you start working full time, you realize that it's not really all that you thought it might have been. And I guess I was looking for a creative outlet and always have been interested in product and wanted to start making things. I have a very wonderful sister, Caitlin, who helps me with the business now every day. And she was like, you got to start making things. You got to start selling your art. And, you know, I had big dreams. I wanted to do cell phone cases, all these things, but quickly realized that you needed money to do that kind of stuff, and decided to start with some cards and put 6 cards up onto Etsy. They were all about breakups. I had a lot of friends going through some breakups and things and saw a gap in the market for it and just kind of side hustled my way and eventually, you know, did some craft fairs, had a couple stores, you know, with wholesale. And eventually just, you know, grew the business to what it is today.
That's amazing. What percent of your business now is wholesale compared to retail, roughly?
It's probably like 90 wholesale, 10 retail. And I'm trying to very much grow the retail side. That's kind of my newest endeavor. Awesome. The last couple of months. Yeah.
Awesome. Okay. So you hit 100 stores in the summer of 2020. So you were selling wholesale to 100 stores at summer 2020. So that was approximately 2 years into your business. And now 2 years later, you have hit 500 stores. First off, congratulations. That's such a huge accomplishment. But tell us how you scaled 400 stores in just 18 months.
Well, thank you. It's been quite a wild ride.
I bet.
I guess I I would love to say that there's some sort of like, I don't know, magical strategy, but there's definitely not.
Right? Oh my gosh. And if I could make a t-shirt that said there's no magic button in business, I absolutely would. Yes. Go on.
But I guess I could probably, you know, there's a variety of things that like you can contribute to the success and like the growth of my business. But I would probably say there's three. And the two, I'll start with the two smaller ones, which aren't like, you know, huge, but I would say like trade shows help. And, you know, the invention of FAIR helps a lot. But I would attribute the majority of the success to just being very diligent with wholesale outreach. And specifically for me, that looks like email outreach. I have done mailings, especially in the beginning. And when I say mailings, I mean like physical mailings, sending my catalog to prospective stores. But when the pandemic hit in March 2020, I really shifted focus and just started really hitting hard with emailing. And I mean, I've emailed over 10,000 stores since I've started in March 2018, which is a lot of stores. And, you know, if you kind of just, I'm no math person, but if you do think about the numbers, like I'm in 500 stores, but I've emailed 10,000. So
yeah,
that rejection rate is high. But I think it's, we're just very diligent about continuing to reach out, tracking those stores, finding new stores, following up. And that is, I think, where the majority of the success has been from.
I love that you shared this. I have two comments on this. One, I think having a strong workflow and system for researching stores, reaching out to stores, following up with stores. And then, as you said, the data points, the tracking of where people are kind of in that pitch process is incredibly critical, and making sure that it's a practice that you're doing all the time on a regular, consistent basis, which you've done, is important. And the second thing I want to mention here and ask, you know, it's hard to send that many emails and not hear back, or to, you know, it's more likely you won't hear back than somebody responds and says, nope, not interested. How did you manage that disappointment? Did you take it personally? Did you recognize that it was just business and it wasn't personal, or what, how did you feel about that?
Yeah. So I think really early on, I learned that it's just business. And when you're first starting out and, you know, you're writing these like beautifully scripted emails and you're putting so much effort into it and you're reaching out to like your top stores that you're just been dreaming about, and you're like, this is the perfect fit. And then they don't answer you and you're like pretty depressed about it. Right.
Yeah. It's devastating.
But I think, you know, that's kind of where you start. And as you start growing, it doesn't hurt as bad, I guess. And, you know, when I think a really like big strategy that I wanted to emphasize is when you start off, when you only have 20 wholesale accounts, or, you know, you don't have that many, I totally agree with, and I know you've talked about it on the podcast before and in Paper Camp, quality over quantity, right? When I first started out, I was only pitching stores that I researched and made sure that their aesthetic matched mine, their, you know, what they sell looks like mine. But as you start growing, it's hard to find those specialty shops.
Yep.
And I have accounts that I never in a million years would have thought I have. Bakeries, car washes, you know, plant stores, bookstores. I don't sell flowers. Why are plant stores buying my stuff, right? And I think I started shifting my mindset a little bit as I grew, and just started focusing a little bit more on quantity. As I, you know, when I hit 300 stores, it was hard to find those specialty stores. And
right.
So I think with that, when I send out an email, I try not to discriminate anymore. Like sometimes I see the name of a store and I'm like, oh, I don't know. Is this bakery going to want me? And I'm like, but I have bakeries. So maybe this bakery will want to carry my products. Maybe they don't carry, they've never thought about carrying cards before, but you never know until you send that email. And so I think when you just kind of have to send it, and the worst possible thing that's going to happen, Katie, is they're going to respond and they're going to say, no, thank you.
Right.
I don't think out of the 10,000 emails I've ever gotten a nasty response. If anything, they usually just don't respond.
Right.
Which is
right.
So, I mean, if I can send 10,000 emails and no one has like made me cry, then like anyone else pitching stores should think about that and send those emails as well.
I love that. And I love that you talk about the evolution of this because yes, the strategies that we have at the beginning of selling wholesale are very different than the strategies we need to have once we're scaling wholesale, meaning we already have a substantial amount of stores we're working with and we're really trying to expand that revenue stream. You know, for the listeners that are just starting out and wanting to build their wholesale strategy, what are your top two tips that you have for them?
So I would say for just starting off, I completely agree with quality over quantity. And I know I just kind of mentioned this, but start with the stores that you know, start with, you know, the local mom and pop shops. Like if you go on vacation, look at the stores that you're shopping in the downtown area, write down the list of stores that you know, and stick with that. I do think that's where you start building accounts. Once you start building accounts, you start building brand recognition, you start looking more legitimate. And then once you can say, oh, I'm in 100 retailers, you can start, you know, branching out a little bit. So I do think for number one, for starting out, definitely quality over quantity. But I do think just like as you advance, then you can switch your mindset, as I mentioned. And I would say for the second thing, if you can consider outsourcing it. And I know this is really difficult for people just starting off because you might not have the money or the budget. So if you can consider outsourcing, I would say do that because it is such a tedious process of finding these stores, finding the email addresses, you know, finding their contact and then sending those emails, logging that information in your master Excel sheet, categorizing it to people who rejected you, to people who didn't respond, to people who maybe said they're interested, but they're not ready yet, right? Sending that follow-up email. I mean, just everything I listed is so much work. So maybe in the very beginning, you can do that by yourself. But once you start growing, if you can maybe get some sort of virtual assistant or something like that, I have found that that has been so helpful in the growth of my business by just outsourcing that part.
What was the first thing that you outsourced in your business? Was it that?
I think it was that. Yeah. I mean, and granted, like it was to my lovely sister, but I'm very, every time I always say like, I'm just so grateful to have her. When people ask me, I'm like, well, I do have my sister, but I do think that was it. Yes.
Awesome. I know a lot of people first outsource bookkeeping, or if it's more of an in-house type thing, it's oftentimes fulfillment and shipping stuff. But I love asking that question because it's different in every business. So you mentioned that email has been a large part of your strategy, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you do quarterly email outreach. Is that correct?
I actually do it twice a year. I do two. I align it with my product launches. And so I launch in July and January. And so I do my big outreach twice a year.
But do you send emails only twice a year, or are you sending those quarterly?
To prospective accounts, I hit them twice, but then I'll follow up.
Yes. Okay. How has that strategy worked for you? Like what kind of content are you sending in those two emails? And have you noticed that anything works better than the other, or, you know, has anything shifted over the last 2 years in terms of how you're communicating with those buyers?
Yeah. So for prospective accounts, I don't design the emails. So any like prettily designed emails are for my current accounts. And obviously I have a whole other marketing strategy for that. I'm hitting them probably like twice a month. For prospective accounts, I like doing short, to the point, and sweet. It's as if I'm writing like a very, very specific email in Gmail to this prospective customer. And so it's very much simply, hi there. If I know the shop owner's name, I put it in. If I don't know the shop owner's name, I don't sweat it. I introduce myself, say a line about what my company is, say that I found their store. I think that they would be a great fit. Attach my catalog, because you have to attach your catalog. And, you know, I'm also on Fair. If you would like to place an order on Fair, please let me know if you have any questions. It's maybe 5 or 6 sentences. It's to the point. I give them the information that they need. And like I said, it is usually aligned with new product collections. So maybe there's a line in there saying, we just launched candles, or, you know, whatever that might be. And, you know, if I do know more about the store, if I, you know, saw that shop when I was on vacation, I'll usually add a line. Like I was shopping in Florida and saw your, like stumbled in, it was great. And sometimes those personal, like little extras really do help, but I don't sweat over it. I do think that done is better than perfect. And I think a lot of creative people get stuck in the details and then they wind up just not doing it. And so for me, I would rather be done than perfect.
I love that. You know, that's my motto too, that we need to launch a little messy if we need to. I'd rather we push forward and get things done and try something, and we can iterate again later if we need to change things up.
Yeah, you can always adapt.
Totally, 100%. Okay, I want to talk about TikTok with you. You mentioned that you also started that you're interested in working on growing your direct-to-consumer strategy a little bit more. And I believe that's really been your focus on TikTok. Is that true? Is that how, yes. What you're leaning
on?
That
is true.
Okay.
That is definitely true. I feel like I have grown wholesale to a point where I'm very happy with it.
Okay.
And so I'm able to just kind of like take the gears off of that a little bit and try to shift my focus into direct to consumer.
Awesome. And why TikTok over all other social media platforms for reaching this direct to consumer audience?
Okay, Katie, TikTok is a beast. Like,
it is a beast.
It is such a beast. I'm amazed by it every day. Like, I feel like I just go on this app and I just like laugh all the time. Because I'm like, what is this app? I do not know. So basically, my like story with TikTok is when the pandemic hit. So, you know, those original like 4 months of quarantine, no one left the house at all. No one knew what was going on. My roommate was begging me to download TikTok. And I was like, no, this is like my time to focus on my business. I'm not wasting time looking at like dancing videos. Absolutely. I was one of those people during quarantine. And so
did you make bread though? Cause I didn't make bread and I kind of regret that I didn't make bread, but go on.
I made banana bread once. I think that was probably like maybe March 30th. And then we moved on very quickly from the bread.
Fair enough.
But yeah. So anyways, I wound up caving in like maybe that summer, uploaded a couple of videos, but really didn't like think about it, you know, posted the videos, nothing happened. I was like, this is just silly. I don't want to do this. And then I listened to your podcast pretty religiously and you had an episode on with Kyle from Summer Letter Co. I don't remember when it was, maybe it was the summer. And she really just inspired me. I'm always listening to that podcast, just like trying to like get all the value and all the information from it. And when Kyle talked about her success on there, and I also just saw in my personal life how much TikTok has been growing, I was like, all right, it's time to do this. And so I buckled down for like 2 or 3 months, posted a video every day, kind of did what like she was doing, which was like education and just like trying different things out. And I saw some growth, not like the growth that I really wanted to see, but, you know, got a couple thousand followers, you know, I think was driving some sales, but nothing that was like blowing my mind. And basically a couple of months ago, decided to reach out to Kyle and I hired her to audit my TikTok. And she spent some time auditing my TikTok and we came up with a strategy of how better to implement and just really run with it. And over the last few months, my TikTok has doubled. I have 18,000 followers, which is nuts.
Amazing.
I am seeing insane sales. To just like put some numbers out there, I know you always appreciate a number.
I do.
This past April, I had a great video go viral and I had over $4,000 worth of sales in stickers and cards, mind you. Like this is like a $3 or $5 price point item.
Right. That's amazing.
And thank you. Yeah. And the prior April, I had $400 worth of sales. So it really works. And like, yes, that's, you know, that's a viral video. That's not always happening, but right. I am seeing like a lot of growth compared to last year. And so TikTok is just, it's just crazy. It's really just this beast. I don't know if I answered your question. Exactly,
you totally, but I love, yeah, no, you did. So let's talk about this strategy and you don't have to give away the goods, but like what has changed since before when you were dabbling? Like, do you have now specific types of videos you're focused on? Are you posting every day? Like what are you doing that's different that you feel comfortable sharing? Don't share anything proprietary, of course.
No, I'm usually like pretty much an open book with this stuff. So yeah, I would say one of the biggest things which Kyle helped like bring to my attention was I wasn't showing enough of my personality from that first time that I worked on TikTok. And I wasn't implementing honestly what I'm good at, which is showing my personal stuff, my personal views and just like a little bit of like my personal life. It was very just like business and education. And if you go to my Instagram, that's always been like my philosophy on there is like mix business and personal, like show the restaurant you're eating at, talk about the bad date that you went on. Like it's all very relevant to my brand, which is obviously very geared at like millennial women. And so I think that was like the best thing that she brought to my attention was like, start like bringing life back into that. And so that was like a strat, like kind of like the overarching like thing that we really had to like dive into. But also just, you know, how do you make things more relatable? How do you sell product on TikTok and make it relatable? Because TikTok does not like you going on there and being like, hey, these are my Mother's Day cards. Like right. TikTok's not going to reward you for that. And so what they do reward you for is getting on there and showing your face for one, and you have to show your face. And that goes right back to getting more personal with your brand. And, you know, for example, instead of just being like, here are my Mother's Day cards, tell a story about what inspired this Mother's Day card. So, you know, I talked just this past Mother's Day, I talked about how I had this like gas price card, and I talked about my mom like always complains about the gas prices. And so like Linda was the inspiration for this. And like, you know, that's the type of content that TikTok rewards. And that is like kind of the strategy that we've taken. And I think has really just like helped grow it.
Oh yeah. Storytelling is king, I think, on all platforms in all areas. I did a video about my Mother's Day, how I woke up super early and found a note on the back of my bedroom door that said, Mom can't leave the room until somebody comes to get her. And my whole house was quiet and asleep. And so like, I'm like, I'm not going to just sit here in silence for who knows how long waiting for somebody to come get me. So I ran out and got myself coffee and a donut and just like sat in my car for a little bit. And then I had to sneak back into my own house so my children didn't know. And I share that because it has nothing to do with business. It has nothing to do with selling wholesale. It has nothing to do with anything other than my personal life. And it got so much attention on both TikTok and on Instagram because it was relatable and it was funny and it was storytelling. And I think to your point and to Kyle's point, weaving our own personality, weaving in our own life stories in different ways, that's what people want to see. It's the relatability factor. You know, I know for like Instagram and even back in the day, Twitter and Facebook, like people will boast these strategies of you. Here's the way you have to use it. You have to do this many posts a day and this many styles and, you know, yada, yada. I feel personally like TikTok is like the fun place to like do messy things, to like play and see what works. And do you agree with that? Do you feel that same kind of way? Or do you feel like it's becoming another spot where we have to be buttoned up and have kind of a more regular cycle or strategy plan?
No, I would 100% agree. And I think that's really the beauty of TikTok. Like for one, there's a TikTok for everyone. Like yep. There's cleaning TikTok. There's science, like facts TikTok. There's bachelor TikTok. Like anything that you want to discuss, like there's a TikTok for it. And I do think that TikTok actually rewards the messiness. I think they push out the videos that seem very authentic and aren't like these beautifully like crafted things. And I think I learned that really very early on. And I was trying to use an Instagram strategy with TikTok in the very beginning. And I was trying to make these funny videos and like these cool product like videos that I was shooting on like, you know, on a camera, and it had like, you know, color flat lays in the back. And it just like, that's not going to do it for TikTok. Like TikTok rewards the messiness, and they're going to push that out and reward you for it.
Tied to that, I think there's been a lot of people that have been trying to do polished video or the backdrops or the, you know, all the things, even me, like I'll go get my hair and makeup done to sit down and record a bunch of videos that we push out. But now I'm like, you also see me with my hair up in a bun that's like super messy with no makeup on, you know, and those are the ones that almost do better sometimes. And it's like,
okay. 100%. I mean, I also try to do that. Like I'll wash my hair and like have my makeup done. I'll like, you know, do several videos in a day, but sometimes there's a trend happening and I'm like, I'm a greasy rat and I need to like react to the trend. And so you just kind of go for it. And that would have been unheard of on Instagram, right? Like I would never post that. And to be honest, I still don't want to post my TikTok videos on Instagram. Like it just feels like a separate space. And I know that there you know, Instagram is like trying to push video and it's like a very scary place right now on Instagram because we don't know what's happening.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do just think TikTok is like the place for you to experiment and like be messy and be fun. And you don't have to make it this like beautiful thing. And I mean, I have the videos to prove it. I have videos that I've spent, I don't know, a half hour on and they get, you know, 500 views. And then I have videos that I have spent 12 seconds on and it goes viral. And it just, it's me just like saying something really quickly and then that's it. And then it went viral and it just, that's wild. That's just, it's a very, very interesting place to be on TikTok.
It is. And I think too, there's some people, I've had this conversation with many people where there's like, I don't know what to make videos about. I don't know what kind of storytelling to do. And there's so many different options, especially as a product-based business. Yes, we don't want to say, here are all my Mother's Day cards. But to your point, you could talk about what inspired a certain card or where you created that card, or you can highlight different stores that you work with or different customers. And you, we have a lot of stories in our day-to-day of running businesses. I mean, running a business is messy and hard and beautiful and amazing, all wrapped into one. And we have relatable stories to tell. So,
yeah, 100%. And I mean, just to give you like a little like background into like my brainstorming process with that, you know, we use Asana, which is it's a free organization tool. I'm sure a lot of people use it. And I have different content pillars that I try to hit with TikTok. It's like product first, relationship first, trends. And, you know, I try to do a little bit more product and relationship than trends. But well, I'll just have a brainstorming day and I'll just think of anything. Like, what are those random thoughts that like, as you're designing a card, like pop into your head? What are those random small business things that you're thinking of? And I just like regurgitate it all into Asana. And then later on, I try to go in and like edit it down and like think what could actually make a good video. Yeah. And then I do batch shooting day where you make like 10 videos, you save it all in drafts, and then you've got 2 weeks worth of content or you could just post every day. And so I do think that, you know, that is the hard part. It's like, how do you make your products relatable? And it's not easy. Like, you have to get creative with that.
Yeah. Do you ever find yourself in a lull of not wanting to create that video content? I know that for me personally, I'll have the brainstorm list. I'll get my hair, makeup done, or just do it myself, clean myself up. And I'll do a whole bunch, but then there's times where I just can't, you know, I'm just not motivated to do it. So how do you keep yourself motivated to continue creating that content?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I do think creativity comes in like waves, right?
For sure.
And so TikTok rewards you for posting a lot. And I think if you really are trying to grow, you do need to be posting once a day for, you know, several weeks at a time.
Yeah.
But you know, when you experience things like that, it's okay to take a break. I haven't posted in the last week because I was traveling. And right before then, obviously there were a lot of things going on in the news that was just so heartbreaking and devastating. And I was just like, I can't post about stickers right now. Like, that's just not something that I have in me. And so it's okay. And I haven't posted a video in like 10 days or something, but I mean, you'll just get back to it. I think a lot of creative people, we're like our own worst enemy. Like, we're in our head all the time and you just got to push through and do it and kind of get over it once in a while. And so, you know, if you're having a creative moment, it's okay. Just don't post for a while. And then eventually one day you'll start posting again and then you'll get to it.
Such amazing advice. No, it's true. We all need to cut ourselves some slack and give ourselves grace. We're not always going to be, and the same goes for creating our products. We're not always creatively inspired to sit down and do that new release when we need to, you know, we need to give ourselves a little breathing room around all of that too. All right. What is coming up next for you, Brittany? What's going on with you and the business?
Yeah. So, it's early June right now. So I am planning for New York now this August, which is exciting. I did it in February. That was my first one back since pandemic.
Yes.
So planning for that, releasing a fairly large holiday collection right before New York now. So
nice.
Beginning of July, launching a new product category with that. I'll say it now because it'll be out by then, but we're doing pen sets.
Very nice.
which should be fun. Yeah, it's a little bit of an experiment there, but I haven't launched a new product category in a minute. So I was getting a little antsy and wanted to try something new. But otherwise, just like trying, I'm really trying to do some more like social designs. And obviously there's a lot of things going on in the world, you know, between the fight for access to abortion and gun control. And so trying to come up with some more product-based things that I can design and sell and donate those proceeds to nonprofits and, you know, good causes. Just trying to do that because the world is a scary place right now.
Yes, it is. Thank you for doing that and having that give back program. That's amazing. Well, let's tell people where they can find you online if they want to check out your products. And of course, if they want to check out your socials too.
Yeah. So it is at Brittany Page Designs. Brittany, B-R-I-T-T-A-N-Y, and Paige, P-A-I-G-E. And that's Instagram and TikTok. And then the website is brittanypage.com.
Excellent. Brittany, it was such a pleasure to chat with you today. We will include all those links in the show notes so people can find you. And just thank you for coming back and sharing your story. It's been so amazing to watch your growth. And you've been such an amazing contributor to our community too. So thank you for that.
Oh, thank you, Katie. It was good to see you. It's been a minute. So it was lovely to talk.
You too. It was such a treat to talk to Brittany today. Thank you so much for joining me, Brittany, and sharing behind the scenes of how you have scaled your wholesale accounts to over 500 stores. Slow, steady growth and consistent outreach are key components to building wholesale. So if you want to level up your wholesale program, join the Paper Camp waitlist at prooftoproduct.com/papercamp. We share email outreach templates and pitch schedules. I personally do wholesale catalog audits in week 2. And for our 40th round, yes, 40th, starting in August, we will have some extra special coaches joining us who will weigh in and answer your questions. We're talking buyers, sales reps, and other manufacturers who are doing what you do. Head to prooftoproduct.com/papercamp to join that waitlist. Thanks so much for joining me today. I'll be back next week with a new episode.